This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
What we're going to talk about today. We couldn't find anything. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's May 6th, episode 2175, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. Maximum Security and Vekoma had good beginnings, and they go out to the early lead in long range. Toddy's close too, and there goes Bodie Express on the outside into the early mix. So they will lead the way early on. And then it's War of Will running in fifth on the inside. Spinoff is sixth. Improbable is seventh position in between horses. Then Cutting Humor to the outside, followed by Country House. Then Code of Honor, Tex, and Pluska Parfait. By My Standards is alongside about 10 lengths off the lead. Great Magician rides the rail into that turn, and then comes Coaster alongside of the Gray Tacitus. Break of another two lengths more, back to Win, Win, Win. Game Winner is in behind him. He's second last, leading Japan's Master Fencer to the backstretch. So on to the backstretch they go, and through this first quarter mile in a sensible 46.62 seconds. Maximum Security leads the way by three quarters of a length. Long Range Toddy pressing the pace under John Ford on the outside second. Or Will is down toward the inside under a snug hold in third. Then it's Bodie Express fourth, Improbable behind horses in fifth. Vekoma sixth on the outside. And then it's Code of Honor who rides the rail into the far turn. Country House is alongside, and then Spinoff. Pluska Parfait is next, and on the inside comes Tax. Game Winner is wide on the turn, beginning to pick up his stride near the back of the pack. But Maximum Security continues to lead the way. Midway on the far turn, he's a length and a half in front. War of Will is second. Long Range Toddy third, and four wide and moving up is Country House's Bodie Express. Plummets through the field, and here comes Code of Honor, and he bursts through an opening on the inside of Maximum Security, and they're into the stretch. Country House on the outside. Code of Honor down toward the rail. Maximum Security keeps on fighting. War of Will is there too as they come to the final furlong. It is Country House on the outside. Maximum Security, so dead game. He keeps battling on. Maximum Security. Country House 1-2 down to the line. Maximum Security wins the Kentucky Derby.
Oh my gosh, what a race. There was just no way that Maximum Security was going to lose that race. I just knew it, and I bet it pretty darn heavy. But let's talk about the elephant in the room.
That whole $26 you had left, you bet on, all on Maximum Security?
Oh, I might have
added some.
I might have added some. So let's talk about the elephant in the room, okay? Piggy French won badminton.
That's right. Yay.
Can you believe that? She goes on to say, my horse is a pain in the backside 360 days of the year. She's difficult to manage, but she's amazing and comes to form for badminton. Brilliant. She kicked the butt of all of her talent.
And who we're talking about is British inventor Piggy French. She's had 24 five-star starts with no wins.
With no wins.
And so she should not have won that. I don't know if you saw what it was. Oliver had a huge lead going into show jumping. And just...
He choked. And I did not make me sad. I'm so excited for Piggy French. She so deserves it. Okay, back to the elephant.
Did you see the smile on her face? And by the way, is she cute as a button or what?
Oh my God, she's adorable.
Yes.
She's adorable. So congratulations, Piggy. Also, let's go back to the elephant in the room. Queen Elizabeth II's Elite Guard recruited the first woman in its 359-year history.
Oh, is that right?
Can you believe it? Huh? There is now a woman in the Household Cavalry for the first time in 359 years. Nina Croker, 29. And basically, she's like, I don't consider myself a woman in there. I'm just a guard, you know, basically. So congratulations to her. I'm super excited for her.
Wow, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Back to the elephant.
Did they build a locker room just for her, by the way?
I always wonder that.
I do too.
But
it's like a building that's been there for 400 years.
I mean, do they share showers? Do they shower after household cavalry duties? I don't know. Is it like that?
Do they put a curtain up? But...
Everybody, we're done here. Let's hit the showers.
You know, everybody's getting really pissed at us right now, right?
Let's go back to the news. Congratulations to Duchess Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. They had their first child today. It was a
boy. They had the baby?
They had the baby.
Oh, I didn't even see they had the baby.
They had the baby. It's a boy. Congratulations, Duchess Meghan Markle.
Any official name on the word on the name yet? That's like a big announcement.
No. I mean, it like literally the breaking news was 17 minutes ago. So we are on top of breaking news.
Okay, good.
And, you know, as far as what you guys want to talk about, let's go to Daily Winnie's.
All right, good. Let's do that. So Daily Winnie today, mine. Well, my Daily Winnies go out to happy birthdays to auditors Colleen Lapp, Richard Alvey, and Krista Youngblood. Happy birthday to all of you.
Oh my gosh, where do I begin? First of all, I would like to give a Daily Winnie to my son, Lucas, because 2 weeks ago, maybe a week ago.
Oh, I was going to say, he bet on the winner in the race?
He saw the Avengers Endgame and did not ruin it for me.
Oh, don't we haven't seen it yet, so do not ruin it for us.
Oh, gosh, I would never. Okay. I just want to say that I saw it, and those of you who have seen it may resume normal communication. Number two, those of you who are in the HRN auditors geeks and whatever, I had to leave your page because you guys cannot not spoil Game of Thrones.
No, I saw cannot watch chats in there about Game of Thrones.
Oh, I was like, dude, you guys constantly ruin it for me. I have to wait till Chad gets home and he's on an airline trip and I can't watch Game of Thrones as quickly as y'all just post about it.
You don't belong in that room. That'd be a bad room.
Elvis has left the building. I am officially gone. So there you go. Here's the deal, you guys, for real. We're going to get to our opinions, but I just want to let you know that I called Scott Jagow from the Pollock Report last night at like 10:30. And I'm like, I need you to come on the show this morning.
I got NBC calling me. I got ABC calling me. I got ESPN calling me. And you're calling me?
He did TV this morning. Okay. So he's probably still got all the makeup on. And we're going to talk to him in actually 3 minutes. So let's go. Okay.
Just give, for those that are living under a rock, trying to tell them what happened.
I mean, if Donald Trump tweets about it, you have to know about the Kentucky Derby. Obviously,
oh, wait a minute. Can I give a Daily Winnie quick to NBC for not cutting off the freaking coverage at 7 o'clock like I expected them to?
I expected them to, too. But you can give them an anti-Daily Winnie because they acted like Country House's connections were the only ones to lodge a complaint. And they weren't. There was lots of complaints. And I think that if I hadn't lost so much
money,
like I tasted a big victory because I have a system when I bet. Okay. And there's eight or nine things that I look at, and Maximum Security checked every box. Every box. The last time a horse did that was Work All Week in the Breeders' Cup Mile. So Work All Week. So checked every box and Work All Week won, and I won a ton of money. So I bet the bejesus out of Maximum Security. Win, place, show, across the board. I bet him big. And I would have won $400 to $500 is what I didn't do the complete math because it was breaking my heart. Yeah, it was going to be.
Can you
it was going to
how much you would have won had you bet on Country House?
I don't want to talk. It doesn't matter because he didn't tick all the boxes. Thank you. So I think that had I not bet so big on Maximum Security and seen and tasted the payoff as soon as he crossed the finish line, I would be a little bit more normalized. Here's what irritates
me. Security's the first time we ever agreed on anything.
Yeah, you picked it from the name. You didn't know that science was backing you. What frustrates me to no end is the number of people that are posting the jockey did that on purpose.
To lose?
The jockey did that. No, to block out other. I have received so many messages because I posted. I was like, well, that nobody did that on purpose. Oh, my God. I don't even remember what group on Facebook it was. I've gotten so many hate messages about how dare I say he didn't do that. Obviously, he did that on purpose. I can quote some letters I got, actually.
You know, I've watched it 5,000 times like everybody else. I don't think he did it on purpose, but it is his job to keep the horse in the lane. Whether he did it on purpose or not, it's okay. I have an analogy for you. Your husband's a pilot. It's his job to keep his plane on the runway from hitting other planes.
And that was the dirtiest move to keep the lead if I've ever seen it. You can't plan that. They're on their tippy-toes.
I do not believe he did that. I do believe the horse spooked, but it's still, he's ultimately the one responsible for what the horse does.
Here's the deal. I mean, it's the rule. There's rules like in place to protect people and to protect the other riders and the horses. And if he would have clipped heels with the horse behind him, it would have been a disaster, and it would have been a disaster for the racing industry forever.
And they did touch. I mean, you see those pictures. They were tangled up.
It was close. Yeah. It was close. So rules are in place like that for a reason.
Can you imagine, though, if he had gone down, we'd be having a whole different conversation about the future of racing.
Oh, God. It would have been... Yeah, it would have been a disaster. You know what? If everybody just throw their dang whip on the ground and just run, it would be fine.
Can but I tell you something about that beer? Quick? So I watched with Jemmy, who this was her, our producer Jemmy, you know, we're getting listeners know who she is, and she's not a horse person. This was the first horse race she's ever watched in her life. And her only comment was, why are they whipping the horses like that?
You know what? The general public doesn't know that those are Nerf whips, okay? Because they can't leave a mark on the horse, otherwise they're in trouble. It doesn't matter if they're Nerf whips or not. Nobody knows that. It looks like they're beating. And how many jockeys have we had on? Oh, it's for safety. It's for safety's sake. BS. It is not for safety when you're whipping the bejesus of them down the longs. Anyway, that's a side note. Let's talk to Scott Jagel. Can we get Scott on? Are we calling him?
Yeah, you want to give him a call? All
right. Yeah, let's give him a call.
Hi.
Hey.
It's Glenn and Jamie. How are you?
Good.
Good. You're on the air here. We're doing it a little differently today. So, Scott, busy weekend?
Yeah.
You had something going on?
What happened? Yeah. Anything happened this weekend?
Yeah, nothing.
No, it was really an uneventful derby. kind of boring.
How many TV networks were you on this morning?
Oh, just one. Just one.
Oh, wow.
So, Scott, the reason I wanted to have you on is people are asking my opinion, and I feel like I am unqualified to give an opinion. So I want you to explain to people what happened.
Well, the Derby has been run for 145 years, and there's never been a winner disqualified because of a foul on the racetrack. There was a disqualification in 1968. That was due to a drug test after the race. But in terms of the running of the race, this is unprecedented. And when there was an objection lodged, I really thought, and most of the people in the media room thought, well, they're not going to take the winner down because they never do. And there's been, you know, it's kind of like the Super Bowl where the referees put the whistles in their pockets at the end of the game, kind of, you know, because it's the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And this is the Super Bowl of horse racing. So, you know, you just don't think they're going to do anything, even, you know, because there's probably been fouls in previous Kentucky Derbies. But this was a pretty egregious foul by Maximum Security. He did come out. He did impede War of Will and Long Range Toddy. And War of Will was moving like a winner. And I don't know if he would have won. But the rule as it is in the United States now, and in Kentucky specifically, is if you cost another horse an opportunity for a better placing, then the winner is placed behind, or the impeding horse is placed behind the ones that it interfered with. So it was a foul, and the stewards took 22 minutes to decide. And I think it was the weight of the decision that, you know, they wanted to make sure they got it right. And in the end, I actually think they did.
So, I read the numbers today. Let's face it, there was almost $7 million bet on Maximum Security to win place and show. So, yeah, there's a lot of money this for a lot of people.
Oh, I know. And the fact that he was one of the favorites means there was a lot more money bet on him than on Country House.
Oh, who, by the way, was less than a million.
Yeah, but I want to point out that, you know, some people have been saying, well, Churchill Downs wanted the result changed because they'll make more money, but that's not true at all.
I don't think that's how it works.
The way it works,
right?
No, of course not. The same, Churchill gets a take of every bet placed, you know, when it's placed, and that's it. So the payout is exactly the same. It's just instead of being spread out to all those people who bet Maximum Security, it's given to the smaller number of people who bet Country House.
The smaller,
and
very happy number of people.
Right, and because they're getting 65 to 1 instead of 9 to 2.
That's how gambling works. I don't understand why people would that's why they stretch the odds like that, to make it even. They're gonna win their money no matter what. The house always wins, but they're gonna, it's about the same payoff, which is how the numbers work. So when you're seeing, do you remember any time in history where the Derby has been commented on by the freaking president of the United States, by all these media outlets? This is crazy, right?
Yeah, I don't think President Trump has a tendency to comment on just about everything, so I don't know if that's unique. But and you know, he was obviously disparaging of the decision. And to be fair, I get why people are upset. If I bet on Maximum Security, I would be upset. If I owned the horse, I would be upset. If I was a jockey, I would be upset. So I understand it, and it's a very difficult decision to make. I think you have to consider the backdrop against which this happened, which is earlier this year, there was the rash of fatalities at Santa Anita, and that has prompted a lot of discussion, reform proposals about medication, about the use of the whip, many areas of horse racing, and safety and integrity. And here, I think the stewards, in the back of their minds, perhaps, you know, the safety issue was the guiding principle here. Because if Maximum Security interfered with War of Will, and War of Will went down,
oh, well, this
and
be a whole
broke
discussion.
Down,
we'd be discussing whether racing is going to continue.
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Not just that. They were at the front of the pack. If he goes down, what if other horses go down? It would have been a nightmare on national television.
Yep.
And I think, you know, you have to take that in consideration. What Maximum Security did was dangerous to other horses and to the riders. And I think that's why the stewards took their time and came down with that final decision.
Scott, I got to tell you, I was one of the people that bet Maximum Security pretty heavy, and I was definitely irritated and super unhappy, and I can't believe it. And now that a little bit of time has gone by and I've watched it, you're exactly right. That was a really egregious foul. I mean, that's about as big a foul as you can get. It's not like he just bumped somebody. He cut across about three paths.
Yeah, and if you watch certain angles, it looks, you know, worse than, say, from the head-on or the pan shot. There's a couple of angles where you can see he really bore out. I want to make sure everyone knows this, too. The rules in the United States are different than they are anywhere else in the world concerning disqualifications. So the rule in the U.S. is if a horse interferes with other horses and costs them a better placing, opportunity for a better placing, the winner can be placed behind those horses. The rest of the world, the rule is, would Maximum Security have lost the race? Would that horse that was interfered with beat him? So that's a different standard. And that's why the stewards had every right to do what they did. If this race was most other places in the world, Maximum Security would not have been disqualified.
Yeah, but isn't that subjective too? I mean, how do you know that horse wasn't going to have a surge at the end? You know, wasn't going to play Zenyatta at the end. We don't know that, right?
No, absolutely not. And I would argue that War of Will, I think he could have won the race. I don't think the other horse was moving like a winner. War of Will was moving like a winner. Whether he would have run down Maximum Security, I don't know. But again, as you said, it's all subjective. But again, the rules in place are why Maximum Security was placed all the way back to 17th, behind the other horse he impeded, which was Long Range Toddy.
Jamie, talk to him about the messages you've been getting from people, what we talked about earlier, and see.
Man, I can't believe some of the stuff I've been hearing. And most of it is the fact that they think that the jockey of Maximum Security did it on purpose to clear out the people coming around, which to me, the horse, that guy's on his tippy toes trying not to fall off the whole entire time. You were to tell me he's going to yank him to the outside. Yeah.
Yeah, I, you know, he said he lost control of the horse. He admitted the horse spooked, maybe to a, from a puddle or the crowd or something. So he, you know, from his perspective, he says he didn't do it on purpose, and I actually believe him. But when you look at the disqualifications, you do not consider what the jockey is doing. He's irrelevant. You know, the next day in the stewards' room, he might get punished with a suspension. But stewards are only supposed to look at what the horses are doing, not the jockeys. So that's why the horse did cause a foul.
So you think it was good? You think the right call was made and everything happened the way it should?
In the end, I do. I think it's very difficult, but it was a foul. And, you know, if it happened in any other race, I'm sure he would have been taken down. It's the Derby, so there's a lot of tradition of letting things go. And it's a 20-horse field, which a lot of people feel like that's the problem. There's too many horses out there. It's dangerous, and they should make the field smaller. Of course, you know, that's probably not going to happen because Churchill Downs makes more money when there's more betting interests. So.
Now, they're talking about lawsuit maybe from the owners. I keep reading about lawsuits from the owners of Maximum Security. You think that's going to happen or they're not going to do that?
Well, he says it's going to happen, but it's, you know, 2 days after the race. You know, he's obviously very upset. And I don't know. I can't imagine. I mean, I don't think it would be very fruitful or, you know, helpful to do that. But if he wants to do it, you know, that's his prerogative. I can't see it going anywhere.
So does Maximum Security go to the Preakness?
No, he probably should. I mean, I think his owners should take him to the Preakness because I think he could win it. I mean, he proved he was the better horse on Saturday. He's the best horse in that race. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe War of Will could have run him down, but otherwise he ran the best race, and the Preakness is a speed favoring race. So, you know, as a front runner, I think Maximum Security would be great, but his owner, Gary West, says, no, he's not going. I think he's just bitter. And he's almost saying, you know, he's been suggesting he's going to quit the game.
Screw
and
you
he's
all.
Gonna take his ball. he's going to take his ball and go home. But as of now, no, he's not going in the Preakness.
Wow. And when will he have to make a decision to enter?
In the next few days. I mean, he could still do it. He could change his mind. But right now, he sounds pretty stubborn about it. He was on the Today Show, and he said, you know, he reiterated, no, not going.
I bet Pimlico might try to sweeten that pot. Hey, you show up, we'll give you $100,000.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, well.
First thing I said last night was, well, there goes a Triple Crown for this year. When I saw the 65-1 win, amazing if he would come and win it. That would be amazing.
It would be damn near impossible. I just think the thing about Maximum Security is, and when you do watch that race after the foul, that horse knows where the finish line is. He fought. And seeing his record of wins, people say he didn't run against anybody. He still has some really amazing speed figures, and he just doesn't want to lose. That is a horse to me that screams, I will run. I feel like he made two or three continuing attempts to get in front and to kind of battle against the horses that were coming up behind him. And I'm sure that foul and that going across made him lose a lot of room. And it definitely took away from his race. So I feel like he's one of those horses that could win all of these races. It's just an unfortunate thing. And I do feel like he's spooked.
Yeah, and I agree with you about his ability to win all three of these races because of he has that cruising speed like Justify and American Pharoah. Some of the recent winners, he can just lope along at a relaxed pace, and he did that in the Derby. He went fast. I mean, he should have been done at the top of the stretch, but his trainer is very unorthodox, and he puts all these slow, long works into his horses. So I knew going into the Derby that Maximum Security was going to be probably the fittest horse in the group. And you talk about him fighting, but even more than that, I think it was his ability to just keep going endurance-wise because he had such a foundation underneath him.
Oh, tell me more about the trainer and his unorthodox methods.
Well, Jason Service is he's a controversial figure in the sport of racing because he has some significantly higher winning percentages than is normal. And a lot of people have suspicions, and they haven't, you know, made bones about it. A lot of people have been public about it. And within the racing circle, that they're suspicious of what he might be doing with his horses to have such ridiculous winning percentages. But on the other hand, he does use different methods. And like I said, it's more about his workouts are so slow. Maximum Security, so slow in the mornings. I mean, just beyond reason, based on what other trainers do. Mm-hmm. And you look at him on paper and you're like, wow, I could have run faster than that. but that's, you know, that's what he likes to do. And I think it does work for horses like this. And Jason said that, you know, this horse in the mornings isn't that interested, but when the gates open, oh, he's all about it. He's a gamer, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just feel like he's a primetime player, man. He's like, it's on. This is the important one. That's interesting about Jason Service. I wonder if it's a little bit of sour grapes from the other trainers, or maybe we'll be proven wrong. But hopefully it's just, hey, somebody's doing something different around here and it's working. Yeah. He must be cheating.
Right. No, I know. That's the way it is in this game. You know, until you can prove it, I mean, there's nothing there. I mean, you just have to, maybe it is sour grapes.
Hopefully. Well,
we're running out of time. I have one more question. It's very important. Are we ever going to have a freaking Kentucky Derby that isn't a monsoon again, ever?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm just so tired of it. I'm so tired of the rain. I hate the sloppy racetrack. I hate seeing that on TV. I just want a dry, sunny day for once. I mean, we've had several in a row.
Yes.
And it seems, and here's the thing, it always seems like, even on Saturday, it was exactly the same thing. It always seems like 5 o'clock, 5:30, that's when the storm comes in. Uh-huh. Just in time for the Derby. All the day long, it was okay. And then all of a sudden, boom.
They just want to see who's a mutter like American Pharoah. I just want to see if anybody can beat that time. Hey, listen, as always, Scott, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about it. Hopefully we won't have any need to call you because there's going to be no more drama for the rest of the Triple Crown races.
Somehow I doubt that. the way this whole year has been going in the racing industry, it's been nothing but drama for the last 5 months.
But I bet you Pollock Report visitor numbers are way up. And if you want to follow all the articles and everything about this, go to PollockReport.com. That's where you can find it. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
He's going to regret being my Facebook friend.
Although his Pollock Report numbers, after all the controversy and everything this year, he's probably doing pretty well with the numbers. They certainly have been writing articles like 50 a day to keep up with everything.
Bless their hearts. They're definitely busy. There.
Well, let's go to Dr. Chang next, and we're going to change gears here a little bit. We're going to come back to the Derby because we got some input on the voicemail line from some of our listeners. So we'll hear what they have to say about it, too, because that's important. They certainly were talking about it in the auditor room. So let's go to Dr. Chang. We'll change gears a little. And then you're going to have a training tip and talk about your adventures last week at Monty's, right?
Yeah.
We haven't even had a chance to talk about that. You've been home.
Good morning, Dr. Chang.
Hi, how are you?
Fantastic.
Where's Jennifer this morning?
I'm sorry?
Where's Jennifer this morning?
We have her locked Jennifer away.
She's locked away. She's not allowed to talk.
Yeah. Oh, so how goes your world? Everything is good?
Do you guys get the Kentucky Derby in Canada?
we do get the Kentucky Derby. We do watch it on TV. But I heard the guy who won was disqualified because he the horse basically was straight into somebody else's lane. And he was disqualified for what do you call it, obstruction or something like that.
And
I didn't think that was possible.
I know, I didn't either, but I was thinking, what is the best thing that we could do for a horse like Maximum Security, who has a lot of anxiety and stress coming around the turn? You hear the noise and the mud puddles. I think we need to deal with his stress and anxiety. And would you possibly have a product for that?
I think we do. Something to help him focus.
Focus.
Do you have a product for the owner? He's a little stressed right now, too.
We have that on the human side. But unfortunately, that product will never pass muster on the equine side. You'd get pulled over on the equine side.
Yes, you would. Well, talk to us about your product that could help a horse with calming and focus. And that product is Chill.
That product is Chill. You probably have used it many a time in your competitive life, even on your trail rides. One of the things that one of the things that Chill does, it helps the horse calm down and focus on whatever they're doing at that time. So the horse does not respond to a lot of extraneous cues, so it's not like fighting 10,000 battles. It's focused on what it's supposed to do, and that's the strength of Chill. And in addition, it also calms them down to the point where they focus, but doesn't make them dopey and sleepy. See, one of the problems is a lot of calming products out there. You're always worried, are you going to push them too much to make them sleepy and dopey, where they stop responding, they're not going to do this, because they're too laid back and chilled out. Chill doesn't do that. It calms them down, and it just takes the edge off, but it makes them focus. And that's a key difference between that product and a lot of other calming products out on the market.
So why does it work? What's the science?
Well,
why does
it
work? What it
is, it's a herbal product, and a lot of the herbs that we have in there work on the central nervous system. So you get fast relief and fast response, as opposed to magnesium. I know a lot of people want to use magnesium for calming their horses down, but the little secret about magnesium that people don't know, or I shouldn't say don't know, they tend to gloss over, is the fact that one shot of magnesium doesn't do the job. You're going to be taking it for quite a while, so it works its way into your system, etc. That's how something like magnesium works. But the Chill, on the other hand, works by calming the horses down, because it works on the central nervous system. Now, the nice thing about, as I said, with Chill, because it works so quickly, a lot of people find it very effective. The only issue I would have with Chill is if people use it and then they say, oh, it doesn't work. Well, sometimes that happens because the horse is not uncooperative because of it's being high strung. It's sometimes uncooperative because the horse is in pain because of things like stomach ulcers. And if that's the case, what you do, you're better off trying to help the stomach ulcer, right, before you help try to calm it down. Because if it's already in pain, you know, you can't take away the pain by calming it down.
Here's my experience with Chill. And by the way, Chill Ultra is the best. You can't just give Chill and take your horse out of the stall. When you say it works quickly, but we're talking like 20, 30 minutes. I have found that if I give it to the horse when he's quiet, say I know my dressage time, ride time is at 4:20, I'll give it while I'm tacking up. Well, the horse is still calm. You know, you can't throw a cup of water on a forest fire and expect the forest fire to go out. So I found that giving it about 20, 30 minutes ahead of time worked for me. Would you agree? Or is
that is definitely true. When I said immediately, I'm not talking like if you are undergoing surgery, you get an injection, next thing you're out like a light in within a minute. No, because you have to remember, we're doing this orally. So what happens is, first the active ingredients have to get into the stomach and into the small intestines, where it gets absorbed. Once it gets absorbed, it has to get to the central nervous system, so it goes to the brain and so on. That takes time.
Right.
Right. And one of the things I also tell people, if your horse is already all worked up, etc., put him out to pasture, let him run around, be a horse, and you could try him when he's calm. Because what we've realized with a lot of these type of calming products, if the horse is already worked up, the calming products doesn't work on them. You have to get them when they're calm before they have a chance to get worked up. Right, and so that's when you can see it's like night and day with your horse.
Mm-hmm. It really, really has made a big difference. I know that with Thor, the Mustang that I used, I gave him chill, but we had a dressage show just about 10 minutes down the road. So about 10 to 15 minutes before I loaded him, maybe 20, 25 minutes before I loaded him, I put him in and we take him out. I unloaded him and he just absorbed it. And that was his first time going anywhere. And ever since then, I feel because we gave him such a good experience the first time that now anytime he goes anywhere, he just accepts it because nothing hurt him. Nothing was stressful. Nothing was terrible. So I feel like it really sets horses up for training. Oh gosh, I'm going to have to buy some more for Groot, aren't I? I always sell myself these products when I talk about them because I've tested them all. Yeah. And I've used them all, and I really had a good experience with Chill, but even Chill Ultra. What's the difference between Chill and Chill Ultra?
Chill Ultra, we have added some other ingredients in there. So we've added things like there's some magnesium in there, but more importantly, there's some other fast-acting ingredients in there, which works quickly, and it's in a paste form. So the reason we put it in a paste form is because it's a convenience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know there are people who just love the convenience of a paste, so we had to respond to the market just because people wanted a convenient form to use. Hence, we created Chill Ultra. So, the Chill component in there is actually twice the regular concentration that we have in the Chill liquid, right? So we packed more of it into a smaller dose. That's what we're basically saying.
Gotcha. That's why it works so well. I love it. Well, hey, you guys are going to be doing a Oasis training seminar on May 27th, and the topic is dealing with stress and anxiety. So you definitely want to get involved with that. All you have to do is email csmith@omegaalpha.ca, and you can go and get involved in that Oasis training seminar. They also have a list of dealers on their site, omegaalpha.com, under the where to buy. On that page, you'll find a list of online stores or retailers. You can put in your zip code and see if there's a dealer near you. And if you can't find what you're looking for, call 1-877-436-1221 and ask for Tim. This is all great. Again, the website is omegaalpha.com.
Can I interrupt before we go? Dr. Chang, we had a post on our auditor Facebook page, one of our listeners, who was at Land Rover, was at the 3-day event, and she said, she posted on there, Omega Alpha were generous enough to give me a bottle, and it was a Respa-free at Land Rover. And she writes, so far, very impressed at 5 days in, and she said that her horse had lost 150 pounds. She couldn't get her to eat grain or hay. Couldn't get her to eat anything. And she said she's already breathing better and cleaning up both grain and hay after just 5 days.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, cool. If your horse is comfortable and feeling better, they will eat. You know?
That's true.
It's a big change in your horse.
So, yeah, and other people went on to write how Biotic 8 has helped and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was great. So there, just proof it works.
Yep, there you go.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on board
today.
Thanks,
Dr. Chang.
Thanks, Dr. Chang. He's like, I don't need proof. I know it. Of course it works.
Yeah, of course. I sell it every day. I don't need to hear from you people.
I make it. OmegaAlpha.com. Thanks, Dr. Chang.
Take care.
Oh, that's cool. So, you know, it is amazing. I love the fact that the products that we advertise on the show, when they work, listeners post about it. and you know, and it's
good. Or when they get to try them,
when they get to try them, and they buy them, and you know, they post about it. They're very vocal about it, and that just helps the show out. That helps our sponsors stay on the show, and that's the reason we have sponsors for so long. So thanks to all of you who post about the experiences you have with the products that we recommend. Well, we're going to get to some listener reactions on the Derby here in just a second. But first, we have to hear about a little thing we're doing shortly. The Second Horse Lovers Cruise is set for February 3rd, 2020. Most of you are just thawing out from a miserable winter. Think about next year taking a break from all of that in February and joining us on a warm cruise with fellow horse lovers and listeners of the Horse Radio Network. All of the details can be found at horseloverscruise.com. Well, I asked the auditors for their opinions to leave messages on our voicemail line about the Derby situation. And they were kind of like me. I'll play a couple of them here for you. Every article I read, I changed my mind. I was like, oh, I agree with that one. I agree with that one. I agree with that one.
It's easy to see all sides for sure.
You could argue both sides of this in court if you really wanted to, right? I mean, you could do it if you really wanted to, whether it's right or not. But anyway, here's some comments. This is Alec.
Hey, how you doing? Happy Monday, Horses in the Morning crew. This is Alec Betty from Robbinsville. Needless to say, I had a pit in my stomach after watching the Kentucky Derby. Maximum Security was definitely the best that day. And no one was going to catch him that day. If anything, I feel the jockey should have been fined and or suspended. But the horse won, and no one was going to catch him. The horse that won Country House was, he benefited by the ruling. He was not impeded at all. The horse that was impeded the most was War of Will, and his jockey never filed an objection. So for the love of me, I don't understand why the number 20 horse filed it and nothing happened to him.
So what do you think of that?
I think that more people filed objections than NBC let on, if I recall reading that. But I do agree, he was the best horse that day. He is the best horse before the race even started. So, in my opinion.
Here's Elena.
Hi, this is Elena Gavins from Madison, Wisconsin. And, you know, I'm actually really happy that they made the call that they did. Honestly, with what's been happening at Santa Anita Racetrack and having the 23 horses die, and then when they started the coverage on NBC, they opened up with kind of an overview of the changes that need to be made and kind of bringing around this atmosphere that, yes, there are changes that have to be made. And so I'm really, really proud that they said that they called that move.
I mean, she's right. And as we talked about that with Scott, you know, if a pileup had happened,
God, the race would be over. Oh my gosh. There could have been so many horrible things that happened, and a disqualification of the horse that did it is really in the end, not that dramatic. What could have happened could have been a hell of a lot worse.
And you know, it does make, I know you said the horses race on buddy tracks all the time, but boy, it just makes me nervous.
You know, as an eventer, we ride in the rain too. So yeah. I can't argue. Horses run around, you know, it's pouring down rain here. And I look outside and my thoroughbreds are galloping around in the field. Of course, I'm like, stop galloping. You're tearing up the grass. Right. But they don't care.
They don't care.
They don't care.
You're right. You're absolutely right. They do it in the wild too. Well, here's Haley.
Hey, this is Haley from calling from Regina, Saskatchewan. So my take on the Derby, I'm very sad. I definitely think that Maximum Security was the better horse. I think that the calling was fair. I think we're actually lucky that there wasn't a huge pile up and multiple fatalities. That being said, I think it was a really sad day all around. Like, I'm heartbroken for his connections, like his trainer and his jockey. I can't even imagine what they're feeling right now. And I also feel bad for Country House because getting booed, as you're accepting the biggest award of your career and such accolades, like, and for the crowd to be booing you is just also devastating. I honestly am just filled with a lot of sadness right now and, all around just pretty, pretty sad.
Let me stop you.
Yeah.
Did you hear where she was from?
Saskatchewan.
So this, that is the epitome of a Canadian right there. I am sad for the guy who didn't win. I'm sad for the guy that won. I'm sad for all the connections because Canadians are so nice.
Well, let's, I have a little, little sound here of what Bill Mott said, who's Country House's trainer. So, and she said, you know, she pointed out that he was in a bad situation. This is what he had to say the next day.
I feel terrible that I have to apologize for winning. And I really feel terrible for the connections, for the owners. I mean, I hate to sit there and apologize. I'm thrilled with the horse. I'm thrilled with everybody that's worked with the horse. And I think they deserve the win.
What a position he's in, right? And then the jockey of that horse, too. For his entire life, there's going to be an asterisk by that win.
Oh, Flavian. Yeah, no, I the thing I didn't like about him is he was totally smug during it.
How do you prepare mentally for something like that? I mean, shoved in his face.
It's like you're awaiting a decision of what is going to be about $200,000 in your pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
So I get it. I mean, again, it's so hard because you can see both sides. The best horse didn't win, but he fouled. And it could have been so much worse. And yes, all the stuff with Santa Anita that has happened, it's just racing does not need this. Get rid of the whips and everything will be fine.
Listen. This is the last one. And she didn't give her name yet. I thought she was the most articulate. It's a little bit longer, but she said this will wrap up this conversation perfectly.
Okay, good.
Regarding the Derby, the situation was heartbreaking all the way around. But thankfully, disaster was miraculously aborted. The rules may not be ideal, but they are what keep the horses and jockeys safe. The steward should be respected and thanked for upholding those rules in the most difficult set of circumstances, knowing the public would not be supportive. My heart goes out to the connections of Maximum Security for the roller coaster of emotions that resulted from what was likely a completely unintentional spook. My heart goes out to the connections of Country House, who were booed in the winner's circle because they benefited from that decision. My heart goes out to the stewards who were facing the storm for simply doing their job. And my heart goes out to the fans who watched the best horse be taken down. But most of all, my heart breaks for the sport. On a tough day, the actual connections involved were largely professional and cordial to one another. The fans and the crowd, however, displayed a disappointing lack of sportsmanship, which I feel did more to tarnish the sport than the actual situation and decision. Perhaps if more of an explanation could have been made to the public at the time of the decision, the reaction would have been handled better by the public. Regardless, the 2019 Derby gives us many opportunities for learning, and I hope they are not missed. Thank you.
Nice.
Isn't that nice? I thought it was a perfect way to end this conversation.
She must be Canadian, too.
I mean, she said it so well. She obviously took time and wrote it out, and good for her. You know, she just...
It is heartbreaking for everybody involved. Yep. That is for sure. It is just not the way I wanted to spend my Monday morning, what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about that big, giant check that I'm going to get from Express Bet for betting across the dang board.
You don't have any credit left, do you, anymore?
Yeah, I checked my account this morning because all of the money that I had in the account was from my huge bet I put on Good Magic last year across the board. So I had a huge show bet. Anyway, I checked my Express Bet account this morning.
You're in the negatives.
My balance is 80 cents.
Oh, 80 cents. And that's after you added $300, which we're not telling you.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Chad's like, did you get through and add money? I was like, I don't know.
I have something you can win. How about we change gears? I have something you can win.
Yes. I actually win this?
Yes, you can. Actually.
Okay, I'm
in. You're eligible for this one. So Kelly Hurd Jewelry is working with us again for this week because Mother's Day is coming up this Sunday, right? Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind, everybody. Let's remind everybody, this Sunday is Mother's Day. So you guys out there, our listeners, have a shot to win over $300 in Kelly Hurd Jewelry. Now, whether you want to keep it for yourself or give it to your mother, How do we know what you do with it? But
it's not our place to judge.
We're not here to judge, although you would be a lousy daughter or son if you did. Anyway, we want...
Or if you're a mother, take that money and run.
Then run, exactly. Well, that's what we thought. We talked about that with Kelly. So they're giving away three pieces of equestrian jewelry, all necklaces, so anybody can wear them, right? And his stuff is absolutely beautiful. And you can see the pictures of the jewelry and everything. But what they're asking for, what we're asking you to do, is post a picture of you and your mom, or you and your kids, if you're a mom. So you and your mom, or you and your kids, if you're a mom. So a guy can post a picture of he and his mom. And with a horse, if possible. If you don't have one with a horse, that's fine. And then we will... pick three winners of all the pictures submitted. We will pick three winners at random on Mother's Day. So you can go to KellyHerdJewelry.com.
Oh, at random? So it's like, yes. Does it matter how cute my picture is with my kid? Because I would totally kick butt.
No, we're just going to go close our eyes and pick at random. We're not, because we don't have time to do voting, you know, everybody vote on the winners and stuff. We don't have time for that. And we really wanted it to be everybody that submitted had a shot, because some people, you know, have my pictures of my mom are really old. So they're going to be scanned in. So yeah, KellyHerdJewelry.com/offers is where you can find it. We'll post a link to that. Jennifer, if you could do that right now, post a link to that on our Facebook page and use the graphic that we have there. And then also the auditors have already had that posted in there. So you can submit your pictures and do that this week. You only have until Saturday, and then we'll pick the winners on Sunday morning. So get your entries in. And don't forget, if you need to buy something that's horsey, you have a horsey mom, or your wife is horsey and she's a mom, and you want to get her something extra special that's not a pitchfork, then go to KellyHerdJewelry.com.
Y'all going to call shenanigans?
No, I don't think. Because you're not going to be picking the winners, so you'll be fine.
Okay.
You're not in charge of that. Matter of fact, we're using a random spreadsheet. I'm just going to pick them at random.
Okay.
All right. So that's it for Kelly Herd Jewelry. Go out and do that now. And we'll remind you all week long, but get your pictures. All right. Let's talk. You went from Rolex, or damn it. You went from Land Rover,
Kentucky 3-day event presented by Mars Equestrian
to Monty Roberts. So tell us what you were doing there and what happened.
So they had the movement, which was just a couple days of inspiring people.
We have a special alert. Leslie Wiley, new mommy.
Hey.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. I didn't think you'd talk to us for a month.
Yeah. Well, I think I've, like, won the baby lottery so far.
Is he sleeping, like, all the time?
He's pretty much sleeps all the time. He poops and eats and sleeps and, like, sometimes wakes up and coos and, like, waves his little mitts around and has, like, googly eyes. So he's pretty good.
Well, how are you?
I'm good. It's been a great week. As anticipated, I gave birth on Cross Country Day at Kentucky.
Perfect.
Was it going on the computer in the delivery room, and were you watching that the entire time?
I was, while I was in labor. But the nurses at some point, like they're like, you really should, like, I'd run all these
focus,
like, yeah. So they would, they'd be like, you're. Like, when my heart rate would go up, the baby's heart rate would go up. So they're like, and it's definitely, like, correlated with the live stream, right? You know, it's like cross country is exciting. So when exciting things would happen, my heart rate would go up, and then the baby's heart rate would come up, and then the nurses would rush in. And so finally I had to turn it off. But then the live updates on Eventing Nation were less stimulating to my blood pressure and heart rate. So although they're still exciting, but not as exciting as the live stream. So I did keep up that way.
That's good.
Did you have the baby was cross country still going on?
It was going on. I think it had just wrapped up. You know, because my baby's, she's just like polite like that. He wouldn't make me tear me away from.
Now, I know you had a name picked out, but did you change it to Thomas Land Rover? Is that what we're going with?
Yes, we named him after Boyd Martin's, five-star national champion mount, Setzerleg, whose barn name is Thomas. So,
darn it, I thought Setzerleg would have been the name.
Yeah, try and spell that one in elementary school.
Yeah, actually, we had a
Remember how to say the name.
I don't even know if I should talk about this on air, but anyway, we had a bet. We had a little bet. You're like, just do it.
Come on.
We had a little bet going. They're like, okay, you have to name your baby after whoever wins Kentucky. And so, Thomas was already in the running because that's my husband's name and family name and everything. Who took the lead, was from the beginning was Cooley Masterclass. Well, my married name is Bateman, Leslie Wiley Bateman. And so, there was a little, it was a little bit down, nerve wracking because I was like, come on, Boyd, you got to do this for me, man. Keep the rails up. Oliver Townend, you got to have a rail down so I don't have to name my kid Master Bateman. Cooley Masterclass. But of course, Oliver Townend did win with Cooley Masterclass. But we decided that because our kid would never make it through middle school if his name was Master Bateman, that we would just go with the national champion instead of the total champion. But that's the name of Tom. That's how we came up with Thomas.
Do you call him Setzerleg or do you just call him Leg? Like, how's that work?
Yeah, Setzerleg's just on his birth certificate, but informally we're going with Thomas. It's like Thomas is like his barn name, the baby's barn name.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We needed this after talking about all the derby crap all morning, Leslie. Oh, gosh. We needed that right there. That was perfect.
Well, anytime, leave it to me.
So how's Daddy doing with all of this?
Oh, man, he is on cloud nine. He is so happy. He is so smitten. He had to go back to work today, and I thought he was going to cry. So, very, very sad. But we're good. We're good. We haven't made it out to the barn yet, but, goals for the week.
So. Oh yeah. You think this week's going to be the week?
I mean, I don't know if I can hold out much longer than that. Right.
You're doing great.
I'm sorry. Yeah. We need Princess and Thomas pictures. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. It is on its way.
Okay. I need like a selfie trio.
Okay. You got it.
Your assignment.
Homework assignment.
Leslie, we're so proud of you. We're so happy. And I'm excited that you're not pregnant anymore. And congratulations on your beautiful baby boy.
Thank you guys so much. You have been with me since the beginning of this sordid journey. And I appreciate your support. And we're just really happy and thankful.
Actually, we've been with you through many sordid journeys.
That's true. I don't know what I'm going to do next year.
Oh, bye, Lord. Leslie.
Don't ask Glenn. He'll come up with something ridiculous. Love you, mean it.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
I feel like, Leslie, remember when you were in regular radio, they had the interns that always had to go down the street and do crappy stuff, made them do really awful things on the air? I feel like Leslie's kind of our intern.
I don't remember anybody ever having to go get pregnant down the street, though. Delivering a baby.
She messaged me. I didn't know we were going to have her on. That was a surprise. So
that's awesome.
All right. You were at Monty's.
Yes, I was at Monty's for the movement. And then I also got to sit in on part of the seminar on motivational interviewing. And Glenn, when that comes back, you have to take it. I just thought this is going to help us interview with a podcast so much better. That was really fascinating. Motivational interviewing. There's a book on it. It's incredible. Now, we had a listener ask a question. And of course, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it was Lindsay, who has a horse that she wants to teach to whoa. to just stop. This is something that I worked with Monty. Actually, I went on Monty Roberts University this morning because I wanted to make sure that I had all of my ducks in a row and I was doing things in the order that I'm supposed to, because when you get out there and you do it, you read what the horse is telling you and you adjust to that. So there's a systematic way to do it. And so I went on to MontyRobertsUniversity.com this morning just to make sure I had the systematic approach. And the video, oh God, it was horrifying. The video I clicked on was me on the Monty Roberts University riding in front of Monty, where he just yells at me. I didn't know what I was doing. And he was yelling at me. It was a great riding lesson because you can see me getting yelled at by no, that's not it. No, stop. So go, you can find me. I'm on that little Halflinger pony on the university. I didn't know it was going to be a university lesson. But anyway, there's a couple of things.
A puppy then.
Oh, God. Like he says, I spoke a lot more human and less horse back then. So, you know, whatever. So there's a couple of things that you need to teach your horse to stop. And one is a big fence, like an arena fence or an arena wall. You know, if you are working in an indoor, the other thing would be really good footing. You know, the main thing is to keep you and your horse safe. So teaching a horse to want to stop, you want to teach them to want to stop. So you have to think about teaching the horse intrinsically versus extrinsically. And intrinsically means you are creating, the horse is pulling in the information instead of you shoving it in. You know, like you're causing the horse to kind of want to learn what you're doing. You make the right thing the easy thing and the wrong thing the hard thing. So thinking of how you're going to get the horse to want to stop. Say I want to get the horse to just stop when I sit down and say, whoa. So how can we get the horse to want to stop? If you pull on their mouth to get them to stop, you are extrinsically creating learning. So you're trying to shove information in by pulling on their face and causing them, making them stop. But you want to intrinsically teach them, which is cause the horse to want to stop. So what I do and what he does is you've got to be consistent and you've got to have a good balance in the saddle. And all you're going to do is you are going to pick up a canter, maybe canter a 20-meter circle or trot to start out with, whatever you're comfortable with. Pick up speed and ride the horse to the fence, to the gate. Actually, the first time you're going to ride the horse away from the end gate, okay? So say your gate is at 6 o'clock. You're going to ride the horse up to 12 o'clock. You're going to sit in the saddle, get your feet out in front of you, sit, feet out, ho. And then, boom, they run into the wall. And they're like, well, that sucks. The thing is, they won't run into the wall. They're going to stop. They don't want to hit the wall. But your job with the reins is just to keep them straight and to keep them facing the wall. You sit, you put your feet out a little bit, sit down, and say, whoa. And then you do a complete 180, like almost like a little turn on the haunches and forehand at the same time. You just do a 180. Pick up the trotter canter and head to the other wall. As you get to the other wall, sit, put your feet out and say, whoa. And then boom, the wall's right there to stop them. So you're causing the horse to intrinsically learn and they're going to want to learn. The other thing you do when you do that 180 is you're starting to create something else for them to think about so they don't anticipate. So I go up to the wall, sit, say, whoa. And actually I back them up 3 or 4 steps and then do the 180 to kind of get them off their front end a little bit. Turn them around, pick up the canter, go to the other wall. As you get to the wall, sit and say, whoa. Back them up, 180, pick up the canter, go to the other wall. You're creating repetition. You're creating a pattern and you're creating the horse learning on its own, because you're going to start to eventually back it up. You're not going to have to run into the wall. You're going to sit and say, whoa, when you're 8 feet out and the horse is going to stop. sit and say, well, be consistent, do the same thing over and over again using that wall. And you know what? Some horses pick it up really quick. Thor got this in 2 seconds because he is a lazy mentality and really wants to stop. So he was like, oh, got this done. I could canter around on a loose rein and say, whoa, and that horse would lock him up on the center line, you know. But where Groot, baby Groot, he's got a lot more kind of go in his brain. He's just like, and we're still working on it. We still go out there and work on leg gilding off the wall and using the wall to kind of half pass or side pass down. And then we'll turn around, canter a circle and come up to the wall. I'll sit, not use my hands. I might have contact with their mouth just to give them a little bit of security and steadiness and not let them think I'm abandoning them. But sit, feet out, say, whoa, boom. Whoa, there's the wall. So you're causing the horse to want to back him up, turn him around, go to the other wall, go to the other wall, go to the other wall. And repetition and the intrinsic learning, they're going to really figure it out. Again, make sure you have good footing. I put wraps on my horses all the time on all four legs anyway. They've got the back on track boots that go under, almost like those sports medicine boots, but back on track. And I use those all the time. And sometimes I'll put bell boots on them for this exercise specifically, because they get a little bit jumbled about where their legs are going and they have to teach themselves how to stop like that. They don't naturally just lock them up when you're sitting on them. They might do it out in the field, so you're not creating something that's abnormal, but just be repetitious, be consistent, be patient, and just do it over and over again. Canter up to the wall, sit, feet out in front of you, say, whoa. Then there's the wall. The wall stops them. And eventually your voice and your voice will stop them. And then eventually you sit down, put your feet out, and that stops them. That is, again, how I would do it. So sit, say, whoa, back him up a couple steps, 180, do it again, canter across. Ho, back him up, turn him around, go again. Okay? Glenn,
sounds
are you
good.
Still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I know it's hard. That was part of the reason that driving was so hard to me. I'm like, you just don't get an emergency brake like that. You just can't do a 180 and just loop back around and canter onto the next wall.
No, you end up tipping things over doing
that. No, it was a disaster. Driving, you guys that drive are super brave. I thought it was scary.
But
so.
Yet, when I asked David Saunders, who was coachman to the Queen for 20 years, what you do when a horse in a carriage bolts, he says, heads toward the wall.
Yep, head to the wall. I mean,
they're
going to
do one
them.
Of two things. They're going to stop. Or they're going to turn really hard and you're going out of the cart.
Do you know what's funny is that the Areno fence that I have, it goes out to the road. And when we were building that fence, you know, most of the fences that we have are about 4'6". And I was like, I want this one 6 feet tall. Why do you need a 6 foot? You don't need a 6 foot. I need a 6 foot tall fence. Trust me, because that is the one that I'm going to be cantering him up to and asking him to, whoa. I was like, by God, I don't want this thing 3.5-4 feet. Otherwise, I'm teaching them all to jump anyway. Let's make it. If they jump that, they're going to the Olympic Games.
Right,
so
exactly.
We're good. Yeah,
you have prospect there.
Yeah, exactly. You jump that thing. All right. We're going down the road.
Well, that's it for today. I think that's enough.
I'm done.
I'm done too. Did we ever really say what our opinions were? Yeah, we kind of did. Yeah, you said. Yeah, I think we both agreed on that one too.
I don't think people really have a hard time finding out what our opinions are.
No,
to be honest.
I don't really think so either. Nope. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see the movie so I can talk to you off air after. We're hoping to go tomorrow. So,
Endgame. Let me also tell you a little daily Winnie at the end that Lucas had a goal when he started taking karate. I take kickboxing and he takes karate at the same time. He had a goal before kindergarten was over to get his yellow belt, and he achieved that over the weekend.
I saw that. Isn't that cool? That's like
step
up, right? That's...
I was so proud because they have to test. The testing was 2.5 hours because there were so many kids, and they do peas and then they sit down, and they do peas and then they sit down. It was 2.5 hours that
he
sat there.
Down, wasn't it?
Oh my God. Yes. And he did really well. And I was really, really pleased. And now we know what the testing is like, so we can prepare for it a little better. But I was so proud. I was such a proud mama because he had a goal and then he worked for it and he achieved it. What a life lesson that is.
Yeah, especially for somebody. I having had to spend a weekend with JoJo, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really big deal.
Yeah. It's a major accomplishment.
Yeah. And Endgame, as he didn't spoil it, so I'm not going to spoil it, but go see it because I gotta talk to somebody.
I know.
Chad's out of town.
I know. Maybe we'll talk about it on the air, but we'll give a huge disclaimer. We'll give people time to turn it off.
I'm not ruining it. It is too important to not talk about it. So we will talk about it off the air. Okay. If you guys want to private message us about it,
yes.
Then private message us or me.
All right. Tomorrow we have, and I think we haven't, Jumping Day, actually. We have Jumping Day tomorrow with Emily will be here. And then Mary Kitzmiller later in the week on Thursday. But you are here both days this week, correct? Wednesday and Friday?
Yes, but I'm gone next week.
Yeah, next week you're out. You're heading to the North Country.
I've got a couple horses to train in Wyoming, so it's becoming a little bit of a...
Is the snow gone yet up there?
I don't know. Snow or mud, you know what? If they can do it in the Derby, by God, I can do it in Wyoming.
Are you training a Frisian this time? Or
yes, I will be working with a different Frisian. He has some remedial behaviors, so I'll be helping that. And
why
then,
is it only Frisians that seem to have remedial behaviors?
They just got a pile of them, and none of them were trained. So
got it.
They've done the best they could with the time that they have. So they just send me up here, and basically Chad and Lucas get a lovely vacation, and I work. But it's really fun to train horses under that backdrop, and it's good for my resume. And so I'll be starting another horse too. They have a 3-year-old that was apparently an oops baby. Oh. It was, they bought a horse and then oops, they went out and there was a horse in the field with a baby. So
they just thought it was fat. They've been having that horse on a diet for weeks now.
That's the ranch life, man. You just buy a truckload of horses that are going to come in and work the ranch. And then one turned out that it was pregnant. So they have an oops baby. So now oops baby is 3 years old and I'll be starting that one because then he'll go to ranch work.
Speaking of Frisians, did you see, was it a Frisian, the black outrider horse in the Derby? Was that a Frisian that was all dolled up? Do you remember seeing
that? I don't know.
One?
I always just look at the drum horse. They have the big Percheron with the appy butt.
Yes.
By the way, that horse is now a Briar.
Is it really?
That horse in particular, I saw it at the horse park during Land Rover.
The outrider horse?
Yeah, the outrider horse is a Briar.
Huh. Who knew?
Yeah, I know. Anyway. I kind of wanted to buy it, but...
All right. Well, exciting stuff coming up. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll have the live feedback for you that listen live by tomorrow morning.
Spay, neuter, geld. Everybody have a good one.